So we're going to get started with our lesson for this morning. And let's have a prayer. Anybody else want to give us a prayer this morning? You guys, if not, okay. If not, I'll do it. I didn't want to hog the show. Okay, first of all, I want to let it be known that when I do lessons, I like to think of them as discussions because I want everybody to participate, and y'all usually do real good and participate. So it's a lesson, but it's still a discussion, so feel free to jump in and pitch in, make comments anytime you want to, but I hope no one feels that I'm trying to target anybody or talk about anybody, because basically I try to come up with lessons that, which is maybe a little selfish on my part, but I feel like it affects me. So therefore, if it affects me, I can't really think that I'm trying to hit nobody else. But if it affects me, by the same token, maybe it affects somebody else, or somebody else may have the same feeling that I have, or they might have some insight that might help me to keep my foot in the right path. So just wanted to put that out there to be known. I was thinking today what we could talk about, and I came up with this question: are you ready? And as we discuss this, hopefully it'll broaden your view as to what I mean by are you ready. Now, we've studied different ways how to approach people, to talk to them about Christ, how to answer their questions if they have questions. We try to live right, as righteous as we know. We want to have a life without sin and doing the right thing. We want to help the needy, care for the elderly. We want to help the less fortunate. And we want to be prosperous and generous. We want to live a loving life of kindness to all people. We want to be cheerful, and as we used to say in the Boy Scouts, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent, which most all intelligent people want to have those attributes and live that kind of life. We want to, as Christians, we want to go to heaven. We strive to go to heaven. We live our life in a manner in which so that we can go to heaven. But the reason I ask this question is, are we ready? Because are we really ready to go to heaven when the time comes? And we're going to touch on that in just a moment. Sometimes we may make excuses instead of reaching out to people or approaching people. Do we make excuses for not doing that? That means when the opportunity arises, we say we're ready, but we're really not ready. We say we're ready, but we're really not ready. For fear of what they might say, for questions that they might ask, we don't have the answer to, or just for fear of saying that I don't know the answer. You know, there's nothing wrong with saying I don't know. The thing is to tell them I'll find out and I'll get back to you and be a person of your word and do that. But because we had those fears, that kind of hindered us sometimes. But we said we're ready. But when we take a close look, sometimes we may not be as ready as we think we are. We may say that we want to help the needy, the elderly, the people that are less fortunate. But do you say to yourself something, I want to help, but I don't have enough? How much is enough? Is that just an excuse, another excuse? We say we're ready, but maybe we're not really ready or as ready as we think we are. We say that I want to give, but I'm in need of myself. I need something myself. I need this. I need that. Do we trust the Lord enough to give us the things that we need? We say we're ready. We're ready to work. We're ready to do what the Lord have us to do. But when the opportunity arrives, are we really ready for fear of that situation? Especially people of Christ, and we wear that name of people of Christ, which brings me to this little story that I picked up somewhere. It was a time when a preacher was preaching in a tent meeting, and he had a good gathering of people, and he was preaching and reaching out to the people, and he told them, if you want to go to heaven, all those that want to go to heaven, raise your hand. And of course, everybody was raising their hand because they wanted to go to heaven. And as he continued on to preaching, he got to a part where he said, if you really want to go to heaven, clap your hands. And a number of people were clapping their hands. They really want to go to heaven. And as he was winding up his sermon, he said, now, if you really have a desire to go to heaven, stand on your feet. And everybody stood up, except for this one little boy that was sitting in the front. And he came down to the one little boy. He said, son, don't you want to go to heaven? He said, yes, sir, but did you mean right now? But see, I think with us as Christians and a lot of people that profess to know Christ and follow Christ, we're ready. We're just not ready right now. You know, when the opportunity arises, and many times people say, when they see a situation, if that was me, I would have did so and so and so. If that was me, I would have did this. I would have did that. But when the time really comes, how do you know what you really do? It was Peter that said, Lord, I would never disown you. I would never turn my back on you. I would follow you wherever you go. But when the time arose, he was the one that said, I don't know the man. Three times he denied him. I don't know him. We have the desire and we have the will to do all the things we want to do, to be the good Samaritan, to be the good Christian, to bring people to Christ. But the thing is, when the opportunity arises, and because we don't know when the opportunity arises, that's what catches us by surprise. So that's why I came up with this question this morning: are we ready? I started up with, are you ready? Which not meaning you per se, but you as general and me, myself, am I ready? There's been occasions when situations arise and I myself, people were talking about the Bible and I'm listening and I'm saying, that's not quite right. But I didn't say anything because I had an excuse. Well, that's their conversation. That's not my conversation. And if I get in it, and which nobody invited me to, but if I get in and speaking up for Christ, thinking I'm doing a good thing, and then they ask me a question I can't answer, what I'm going to look like? I was embarrassed. I was scared. But I have learned since then, in our study, to be bold enough to say something and let Christ have your back. Because he will answer any question that comes up. And if you get to the point where you don't know, don't be afraid to say, I don't know, but say, I will get back to you and find the answer. A passage of scripture that I pulled out is in Matthew chapter 25, and it's verse 13, and it reads, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes." Now, as Christians, we profess to love and honor Christ with a fixed, with the fixed and active principle in the heart of faith in Christ and love to God and our fellow man. Our light must shine before men in good works through the services and trials of this present day. But because of Satan, one degree of carelessness makes way for another. That means that once you do something, you might do it again. And we must watch, therefore, and attend to the business of our souls, being in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Now, sometimes we do say, or we at least think it, I know what I should do, or I know this ain't right, but as Russ has said it in a couple of his sermons before, because we don't really keep it in our minds too much that the devil is as active against us as God is for us. Now, God protects us 24/7, every day. He makes ways out of ways that we don't know about. Some things we see, some things we don't see. Sometimes we get ourselves in a jam, we don't know how we're gonna get out of it. And before we know it, the Lord opened up a door, opened up a way, and we come out. And we said, man, we sang that song. I don't know how I got over, you know, but we make it through. But sometimes we, being human, take it upon ourselves and say, well, I can fix this. And we may do something that we know that is not right or we shouldn't do or it's not the wisest thing to do. Well, we make excuses again because the devil tells us it's okay. See, he goes around 24/7 too, seeking who he can devour. If he can weaken that armor that we have just a little bit and make us say, well, it's okay, I can let this slide. It's all right, I'm going to do it this time. I ain't going to do it no more. You know, I just need to get this done. I just need to get this over with. I just need for it to work out this way. And we make excuses for that. This is what this scripture tells us. If we let one thing slide, which nobody's perfect. We're going to make mistakes. But that's why we have an avenue of prayer to repent and ask for God's forgiveness and ask him to show us where our mistakes are and help us to overcome, not to make the same mistakes continuously all the time. And God knows that we're not perfect. So when we make a mistake, if we fess up and own up, and then he gives us forgiveness, so that the next time a situation such as this approaches, we know how to get around it, we know how to avoid it, or we can maybe inspire somebody else or tell them, you know, that may not be a good thing to do, because from my experience, this happened to me, or it seems like this would happen and that would happen. As we look out for our fellow man, that's what we're supposed to do. But the devil is constantly at us. And as I said before, I think people sometimes don't think about how active the devil can be and with us in our lives, because we when things are going good and we tend to enjoy the moment, the devil is still taking advantage of that situation to try to find a weak point to try to sway you one way or another. I can't actually think of a situation that may affect someone, but let's say, for example, this is just off the top of my head. You're preparing to go to church, which is a good thing. You're running a little late. Well, you know, you're thinking to yourself, this ain't nothing but the devil. I'm trying to get to church. Devil throwing stumbling blocks in my way to slow me up. But you're still going. You're still on the road to come. Well, you run across somebody that needs some help. Maybe they need a flat tire. Maybe they need a ride to the gas station to get some gas. Maybe they need somebody that was injured. They need a ride to the hospital, or they may need to be comforted until help comes. And you say, I don't have time for this. I'm already late. I got to go to church. You think you're doing a good thing. But the devil's saying, go ahead. You ain't got time. Let them people go. What would Jesus do? What would Christ do? God already knows where you're going, what you're supposed to be doing. And he says, look out for your fellow man. So if this person is in need and you can help him, our duty is to stop and help. God's not going to condemn you. Well, you didn't come to church because you stopped and helped them. That's not what he's going to say. You know, he's going to say you should have helped them, because church will still be here. Even if you don't make it for that particular day, you still have the opportunity to go to church another day. But what have you done? You have helped somebody along the way. And who knows, you might have an opportunity to share the Bible or share the gospel with them and tell them about Christ. So we don't know what the situation brings, what the opportunity comes with the situation. But being human, we think that I don't have time. I'm making an excuse. I'm already late. I don't have time for this. The devil is stopping me. And yeah, the devil is, because he's telling you to keep on going. But we don't see that. But that's just an example off the top of my head. As I said before, feel free to jump in with any comments or anything you want to say. In today's time, today's tribulation, the number one thing, COVID-19. You see it on the news. You see it in the streets everywhere. You can't avoid it. Everywhere you go, you're condemned. If you go anywhere without a mask on, you go anywhere outside, you have to have on one. You go into business, you're supposed to have on one. This is what we're supposed to do, is to take all precautions, protect yourself, protect others. And if this is the tribulation that's going on today, we have to deal with it. We can't escape it. But don't let it get you to the point where you are so consumed with what's going on that you forget about God. God has brought us to this point, and he will take us on after this point. Now, true, don't get me wrong. Don't think that I'm saying don't worry about the virus. Just go on through life, not caring about it. God gonna take care of it. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you have to do what is required, whatever they suggest that you do, the washing of your hands, wearing a mask, wearing gloves if necessary, whatever you need to do, do it to help protect yourself and others. But just don't forget that this disease is still not greater than God. He still is going to carry us through it. And it's going to be some people that may contact you. I don't know myself. I'm saying this today, tomorrow I may be affected by it or be gone from it. But life will still go on for anybody that's left. And God will still be here. Now, in the event that I use myself as an example, in the event that God takes me away tomorrow because of this virus, how else am I going to get to heaven? Is that what we live for? Is that what we talk about? Is that what we preach? Am I ready? Am I ready right now? Am I ready today? Am I ready tomorrow? Or am I just ready but not right now? I can't control it. I don't think nobody can. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we prepare for the war that we hope never comes. Mm-hmm. But when the message comes down, here's a point. It gets real. It gets real. But then you find out exactly what you do in Tomato.
Yeah.
We've had muster formations. We get our briefings. And we start getting everything ready to go. You bring in your duffel bags with all your gear. They load it up so they can take it to the place where it needs to go. And then you have the formation right there on the tarmac to get on the plane. And then there's soldiers missing.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, well, when you're a soldier, you are committed to the greater good.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not you like it or not, and it's not in accordance with your time schedule. So I say that because aren't we all supposed to be soldiers of Christ?
Amen.
So those who maybe I throw that out as a encouragement for us to really consider what we're obligated to.
Mm-hmm.
What is our responsibility? And in the greater sense, what is our privilege?
Mm-hmm.
We get to go someplace that's far better than whatever we've seen here. And Kathy and I, we've been blessed. We've seen a lot of beautiful things that the Lord has made. But it's, from our understanding, that's nothing compared to what's up here.
Right.
And you don't even have to pack a bag.
Mm-hmm. That's a good thing.
Yeah, your room has already been reserved.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as the analogy goes, because they're being bought and paid for. You know, there's an old saying that maybe it's still around. I love you so much, I would move heaven and earth to prove it to you. Have you heard that before?
Yeah.
Consider, we have our God who made heaven and earth to prove it to you.
Mm-hmm.
That he loves us.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of us. But yeah, we're not getting out of this world alive.
It's true.
We have to go through that. The change, if you will, the deployment,
mm-hmm.
what we used to call the Army, Permanent Change of Station, PCS. We're always kind of excited when, hey, you're coming up for rotation. Well, where am I going to go? Here's your orders, and you
Yeah.
It was not on my wish. But what you know, you get that different sense when you orders come down and you're going to Hawaii. You know, places like that, or Alaska, some places. But again, we're going to someplace far better.
Mm-hmm.
And this is permanent.
Yes, it is.
It is permanent.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be no more orders after your home.
That's very good. Very good. I'm glad you brought up that analogy. When I was in the service, one of the things I learned very quickly was you get to a place, it's a new place, you got to learn your way around. You're stuck in a sense on post first until you have the freedom to go out. Now, one of the things that's most exciting, as you were just saying, of being in the service is to know you get to travel. You get to go to these places, Hawaii, Alaska, Amsterdam, wherever, Germany, different countries, different states, different places you've never been to before. And you get to see a lot of different stuff. But to go to these places, when you first get there, it's all new. You lost. You don't know your way around. Some places you might even can't speak the language. You can't count the money. I was in a situation one time when I went into a place, I was so hungry. I went into this place, it was a restaurant, and they had these rotisserie chickens going. All I could do was go and point to this, I want this. I'm hungry, I want this. And I pulled out my money and held it out, and you take what you want. That's how hungry I was. I didn't care. I couldn't count the money, but I knew I had some, and I figured I had enough. But that's how hungry I was. I wanted something to eat, and I just, here's the money. Give me that. And I thought about it later. I said, you was a dummy. You just give away your money. You know, but to get to these places, when you first get there, you're lost. You don't know anything. But as you move around and you learn your way around, you learn to speak the language, you learn to count the money, you learn to associate with people, and you start enjoying, or you enjoy the joys of being somewhere different and seeing something different. And as soon as you get comfortable, it's time to go. You're not ready to go. Are you ready? You're not ready. Oh, I like this place now. You know, I can deal with it. So that's one of the things, too, is as you said, we realize we get comfortable in life situation. And yes, I'm ready. I'm just not ready right now. Yes.
I think of either at a train station on the deck or maybe getting on a boat or maybe an airplane. It's like they leave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it's time, they're not going to wait for you.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Would you leave? Or would something, anything else in this world keep you from being with him?
Mm-hmm.
And we need to make the right choice.
Yeah.
Get on that train.
That's right. Because this is your last choice.
Well, I'm not just saying that, you know, this is your only out. I'm just saying, do we love him that much?
Right.
Do we love him more than anything that this world has to offer?
Mm-hmm.
That's his question.
Yes.
Do we love him more than
this? And we're faced with that every day. You know, yeah. if you may not feel like, well, I don't get faced with that question every day. I mean, it don't bother me. I mean, I don't see it. Well, maybe you don't. But that's hopefully what this lesson is about. Take a closer look and see, are you missing opportunities? are you missing an opportunity to represent Christ? Because as you said, when we get on that, take that last final trip, when our number is called, when our time is up, when Christ said, come on, it's time for you to come home, we stand before judgment. We won't get a chance to go back and get no do-overs. You know, we won't have a chance to, I should have did this, I should have did that. And whether we're ready or not, we're still going to go. And when we stand before judgment, that's going to be it. So, yes.
You can't say, okay, I don't feel like that, or it's dangerous or whatever. Well, our great commander has given each one of us a commission. We shouldn't have no excuses either. You know,
that's right.
He didn't say, I want you to go out and teach once you know it all.
I can agree with you on that. Yeah. Something else, too, that we need to keep in mind, as you said, we're supposed to go out and teach. That teaching is sowing seeds. Now, as along with the parable of the sower, we're supposed to go out. We don't have to make nobody change their life and accept Christ. We don't have to stand and argue with nobody to accept Christ. Everybody has that choice. Either take Christ or you don't take Christ. All we have to do is sow the seeds and tell them about Christ. But our job is not just because we're supposed to sow the seeds, we're going to go out here just going to go telling everybody that Christ lives, Christ died for us. We're going to just go out and do it to any and everybody. We're supposed to sow seeds on fertile ground to somebody that we think is going to be receptive. If they're not going to be receptive, we don't have to stand there and be ridiculed, cursed at, abused, because they made the decision. They don't want Christ. The Bible tells us to shake the dust off our feet and move on. Don't cast your pearls before swine. You just move on and go to somebody else, because there's too many people out there that want to hear the truth and they're looking for the truth. And our laws, some of my laws don't even realize it. That's what we've been studying about, how to approach people, the laws, saving the laws. Yes. He will give the increase. All we do is spread the seed, spread the message. And that's what our obligation is. That's the song we sang, the greatest command. That is our command, our greatest command, to spread the word to those who don't know, refresh the word to those who do know. That's what we're supposed to do. Go out and make disciples, and baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. Spread the word. They didn't say we had to beat them over the head. We twist no arms. Make nobody do what we do. And don't disassociate with them because they don't want to hear it. Pray for them because maybe one day it will change. And I'm a definite example of that. If when my wife and I first got together, I definitely wasn't interested in the weird. But look at me now. I never would have thought I'd be standing up trying to teach a class, let alone be in a church. You know? Yes.
You're a shepherd, bro.
That too. I'm trying. I'm making an attempt. I'm making an attempt. But I'm a work in progress, you know. But we all have our jobs to do, you know, which is encourage people, you know. Okay, one last scripture I want to leave with you is from John chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, as Christ has said, we're going to have tribulation, which he told us that simply because if you pick up your cross to follow him, you're going to be persecuted anyway. So we know that to start with. Now, we also know that just like the rain falls on the just as well as the unjust, people that don't know about Christ have bad times just like we have bad times or hard times. Things don't go their way either, just like things don't go our way sometimes. The only thing is we have Christ to rely on. They don't. We have Christ to pray to and ask him to help us work through this situation. Sometimes God gives us the answer of no. Sometimes he tells us to be patient, which is hard for us to do as human. But we get through it. Those that don't know about Christ, they do drastic things. They may jump off a bridge. They might take a gun and blow their brains out. They might step in front of a train because they don't know no other solution to this to their situation. They don't have Christ. We are better than that. We are above that. So when Christ tells us we have tribulation in this world, but be of good cheer because he has overcome the world. And if he's looking out for us, we will overcome situations too of the world. Remember, we are supposed to be in the world, not of the world. We don't conform. There's things we do still have to do. We still got to do worldly things. We still got to go to work to make money to support ourselves. We still got to look out for our fellow man. We still got to pay bills. I mean, we got worldly things to do, but other worldly things such as go out here and, it used to be a saying, go out here and show yourself, which means show the bad side of yourself, acting ignorant and foolish in the name of having a good time. Again, I can attest to that. As Paul used to say, he was chief. I won't say I was chief, but I was up in that number. And I was out there, and I have did some things. No, I'm not proud of it, but it's still it's out there. I mean, it's my history. Anybody know me knows that I can't hide from it, and I can't change it. But as Christ has overcome the world, through him, I have overcome that. I'm not doing it anymore. My life has changed. So we'll get through tribulations. We'll get through things that we think is right but are wrong. We'll repent from it, and we'll continue to go through life trying to do his will if we keep him first and foremost in our lives as best we can, because he knows that we're not perfect. And that's why he made an avenue of prayer for us. You got something else?
Mm-hmm. So, even though if you go into the pandemic, the world will tell you, you've got to be terrified now. The world's going down. You know, this will be the end of it all. But we are to trust in God.
Mm-hmm.
And if I trust in God, there will be another day.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it all boils down to relying on the source to get us through, whether it's good days or bad days, whether it's a pandemic or whether it's just personal problems that we have. Rely on the one that has the power to get you through it, and you will come out stronger and grow in faith on the other end.
Mm-hmm. That's why we have to rely on him. Rely on him. That's all we can do. So I hope that this discussion that we have with what I said and I started off, are you ready? It will help you to think about it, realize it. We're not going to be perfect, but we have to strive to be ready. Because we don't know when the time is going to come. And above that, just being here, we don't know who we influence. You know, people watch you from a distance. Number one, because you're different. You don't do the things that the world do. You know, we follow Christ. We try to live with purpose. We try to live with meaning. We're not here to do harm to people. We try to help people. We try to have a good heart. That's different. In this world, everybody's out for themselves. Everybody's me, me, me. Forget about you. How many people will pass by you and see you need help and they just keep right on going? Some people might even know you. They'll blow at you, but they still keep on going. You know, walking down the street, people will knock you down and won't even say, excuse me. Everybody about themselves. You know, this world is progressing. I don't know to what outcome, but it doesn't look good. You know? But we're supposed to be the light. We're supposed to be the difference. So it's not going to be easy. It never has. As Russell said, it's things are bad. It's going to get worse, but the victory is in the end. That's the only place when we get to heaven. That's when everything will be worthwhile. Because things of this time, of this earth, this life, will all have passed away. And it will not be the same thing. It will be no more sorrow, no more death, no more suffering, no more pain. I can't really imagine being in a place like that because I've never seen a place like that. All the life I know has always been suffering, hard times, death, sorrow, people taking what they want, treating you any kind of way. That's the only life I've ever seen. I don't know. You know, even in my family, we have family members. I have family members that are selfish, mean, bully when you were younger, you know. But it's because this is what you've been taught. This is what life has been. And because Satan is out there 24/7. And he's still out there 24/7. But so is God. So I hope that this lesson will encourage you to think a little bit harder, think twice, as people say, to we know not the day or the hour. But let's try to be as ready as we can and be ready right now. So with that is my lesson. God bless you.